church membership a little bit. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Of course, we see there that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as ye see the day approaching. Now, I think one of the saddest things that we see in our modern Christianity is a misunderstanding and a lack of appreciation of church, of local church. And all you have to do is look in your New Testament and you'll find the centrality of the church. And you'll see, for instance, in Matthew 16, verse 18, that Jesus said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." We're told in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, that he says, "Go into all the world, teach all nations, and discipling them." And we see that applied out in the book of Acts, chapter 2, that the way to discipleship is not through personal Bible study. Now, I'm not saying that's a bad thing to have personal Bible study. But when you look at discipleship, you know, God did not necessarily start college camp programs, though those can be very helpful. But what he did do is he established the local church. And most of the epistles in the New Testament are written to local churches. And three of the others written to individuals, 1st, 2nd Timothy, and Titus, they basically discuss how a local church should function. The very last book of our Bible is the book of Revelation, not sins, you know, as some people would say, but the book of Revelation. And you know what that was written, who that was written to? Seven churches. So the point I'm making here is that God makes a big deal about local churches. Now, I could spend, in the few minutes I have here, talking about why biblically you should join a church, such as regarding what the Bible speaks about church discipline. You can't discipline somebody out of the church if they're not in the church. So that's why in the Bible, they literally belong to a church. The church, there must be some sense in which there is a group to be added to. Or church business required church membership. And we could talk about all of those things, but what I want to talk about, something that I was reading through a sermon, and it's five issues of church membership. Five issues of church membership. Why you should join a church. Now, I'm not making a plug for our church, though you're welcome to talk to me about that, but I'm making a plug for any Christian who is not a member of a church. Now, five issues. Number one, it's a spiritual issue. It's a spiritual issue. Hebrews chapter 10, the verse that we have read, is a command. It said, if you want to be obedient to God, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. And Acts chapter 20, verse 28, the church of God, which God hath purchased with Christ's blood. Jesus Christ loves the church. Someone said, well, I love Jesus, but I don't love organized church. Love what Jesus loves. It's a spiritual issue. And to walk with God is to walk with what God loves. Number two, not only is it a spiritual issue, it's a fellowship issue. Now, if you look there at verse 24, that verse in verse 24, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. You see, folks, we need each other. We need each other. Somebody could say, well, you know, I belong to some club or some organization or whatever. Well, it gets deeper when you consider the fact that we are fellowshipping. We are, in a sense, fellowshipping because we all are in Christ. And it's a fellowship issue. We need each other. You know, and somebody who decides to be individual who goes from this church to that church to that church, there is accountability. There's no one to really help them to see, well, where have you been? How are you doing? How's it going? But when you belong to a church, you get to see some of the same people who know you. And you can be a help to them and they can be a help to you. So it's a spiritual issue. It's a fellowship issue. Number three, it's an authority issue. An authority issue. Now you're here in Hebrews 10. Look over to chapter 13 in the book of Hebrews. Everyone still got your Bibles open? I hope you're always having your Bibles open. Hebrews chapter 13, look at verse 7. The writer of Hebrews says, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation, which is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. So, interesting thing here is he says, remember them which speak unto you the word of God. So he's talking about pastors and teachers. But then it says in verse 17, look at verse 17. What's the first word? We don't like this word. Now, obedience has to do with submission. And that's why he says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. You know, people don't like submission, but there is an authority issue. Submitting to the leadership of a pastor. You know, when we talk about the studying of a church, you'll see in the New Testament that there's leadership in the church. You have pastors, you have deacons, and they're watching for you. Now, we're told in 1 Peter chapter 5 that they are not to usurp authority over you in a way that's cruel and mean. Anybody that does not meet the qualifications of a pastor who is to be kind and gentle, then they do not deserve the right to be called pastor. But to be under the authority of the leadership of those who are watching for your souls, it's important. Now, who is the pastor's authority? Now, let's come back to an even bigger picture here. Who's the pastor's authority? Okay, we would say God. But how do we know what God thinks? So in other words, as a pastor, I'm under the authority of the Scripture. And as a Christian, you are under the authority of the Word of God. And so local churches are ministries that allow us to, okay, we need to act according to the Scripture, and we're helping each other do that. That's why you need to belong to a church. Didn't say it had to be our church. There's other good churches you could go to, but you ought to be a part of that. It's an authority issue. And because people don't want to be under authority, they just seem to be their own individual that's going here and there. So it's a spiritual issue, it's a fellowship issue, it's an authority issue. Number four, it's a ministry issue. It's a ministry issue. Every believer has been given spiritual gifts. We see that in Romans 12, we see that in 1 Corinthians 12, 1 Peter 4, Ephesians chapter 4, that every believer has been given spiritual gifts. How are you using them? That's the question. What are you doing to build up other believers? You know, a lot of people, even in weddings and so forth, quote 1 Corinthians 13, but they don't realize that 1 Corinthians 13 is sandwiched between, this is real profound now, between chapter 12 and chapter 14, which speaks about ministry in a local church. So you say you love 1 Corinthians, though you have to speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and you do not have love or charity, what good is it? So if you are a Christian, now we talk about being right with God through Jesus Christ, you ought to be using your gifts for the ministry of a local church. All right? And then number five, not only is it a spiritual issue, a fellowship issue, an authority issue, it's a ministry issue, but finally, it's an evangelistic issue. Now, how does Jesus describe the Great Commission? Now, we could look at it in chapter 16 of Mark. We quoted a little bit ago, Matthew chapter 28. Where does Jesus say, go to give the gospel to all the world? Are you doing that? I mean, that's a good question. What are you doing to get the gospel not only to your neighbor, not only to your friends, not only to your family, but to people over in the other parts of the world? That is a ministry of a local church. Now, an individual can do that somewhat independently, but one of the things that we find is that we not only want to be evangelistic individually, we want to be evangelistic corporately. That's why our church, as well as any good Bible-believing church, is going to do everything they can to support worldwide missions. So it's important to be a part of a local church. And by being a part of a local church, you will find yourself being very biblical, as opposed to being an individual who just kind of jumps and hears a good sermon here, a good sermon there. But you need to be part of a local church. Now, that being the case, we have Pastor Nathan and Karis. I said, now, when you join our church, I know you've given your testimony before, but I said to them, let's hear a short version of that, okay? And they did a great job in presenting their testimonies, but I wanted to particularly hear of their salvation and when they were baptized. And so we're going to have them join our church this morning. So you folks come up here and just stand right here. And Nathan, I'll let you go first, okay?
Well, as Pastor said, I think it's almost been 2 months probably since we were here the first time and gave our testimonies to you all. But I don't know if you remember from that, I grew up in North Carolina. My dad was the director of a Christian camp. I was involved in the camp, involved in my church all growing up. I'm thankful that God put me around such great influencers in my life. Heard the gospel from a very young age, and I believe I was at the age of 4 or 5 when one night after supper, I just asked Dad, you know, they'd been giving me the gospel some already, but I said, Dad, I think I'm ready to get saved. And so he went down, we talked in the basement that night. I remember getting on my knees next to him and just asking God to save me. And I did have some doubts as I grew up, partly because at the age of 4 and 5, you don't remember that much from that time. So if you were to ask me, what was the exact date? Well, I'd have to go, look back through some things, because at the age of 4, you don't remember everything perfectly. And so I did struggle with some doubts. I was like, what was exactly going through all my mind right then? But looking back, it was just, there was the testimony of God. Actually, Pastor mentioned it in the first message from Proverbs 14, there was a lifestyle change. The righteousness of Christ had come into my life, and I really had a desire to start living for Him, serving Him, and He was the master of my life. And so God used all of that to really convince me that, yes, I have been saved. And I was baptized, I believe it was around the age of 10, after we were talking with my pastor at the church. I gave them my salvation testimony, and Bethany Bible Church in Hendersonville, North Carolina, was the church where I was baptized in.
I'm Karis, for those who don't know my name. But I grew up in a Christian home, and I was saved at the age of 4. I just remember asking my dad how to get saved, and he explained everything to me and then prayed with me, and I remember knowing that I did place my faith in Jesus that day, and it was not just a word that I said. And then I was baptized a couple years later at my local church.
Amen. Hers was shorter than yours. You know. Stay up here a second. All right. All of you, you've heard their testimony. All of you who are members of Faith Baptist Church and are willing to have Pastor Nathan and Karis be members of Faith Baptist Church, would you signify by raising your right hand? All right. You can put your hand down, all opposed, same sign. And so moved. So we are glad. Now we can work you to death. Here, no, we're so glad to have you. Now, before you go, can't leave yet. Those of you who are visiting, Pastor Nathan is coming to work as our assistant pastor of our church, and you just so happen to come on a day, 4th of July of all days, to come and to be the first Sunday they were here. And our church had voted to have Pastor Nathan be licensed as a minister of the gospel. And we voted on that on the 16th of May. And this is not an ordination certificate, but it just permits him as a minister of the gospel to do different things. He can preach, he can, of course he did that before, but he can perform marriages and so forth. And so we voted on that, and it was unanimous. So I wanted to give you this. This says a certificate of license. This is to certify Nathan Herbster has given evidence that God has called him into the gospel ministry. He is licensed to preach the gospel as he may have opportunity and to exercise his gifts in the work of the ministry by Faith Baptist Church, Manhattan, Kansas, on the 16th day of May 2021. Let's give him a hand of applause. Amen. So glad there, Nathan. And so, and then we have something special for Pastor Karis. We have some flowers for her. So you just have to stand up and hold those the rest of the hour. No, you don't. But we are so thankful for them, and what a blessing it is to have them. I did ask, I signed that certificate, so did both of our deacons, and I wanted them to come and to pray over Pastor Nathan and over Karis. And so if you fellows would come on up, and the first one gets here gets to pray first. Okay, so they'll take Brother Dave's up in the sound room. All right, you guys come on up here. And let's just pray that God would do a marvelous work in their lives. You can put that down. There we go. And let's pray for them. Brother Patrick, you come and pray, and then Brother Dave, afterwards you can pray.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity to be here with Pastor Nathan and Ms. Karis, Heavenly Father. Lord, we just ask that you be with them, Heavenly Father. Lord, they are a young couple, Heavenly Father, and newly married. I pray that you just allow them opportunities to get closer together as a couple. by seeking you, Heavenly Father, and Lord, to be able to look at you, Heavenly Father, and to grow closer to you, dear Lord. And we just ask that you watch them, be with them, Lord, allow them to be a blessing here at this church, Heavenly Father, as he takes over the assistant pastor, dear Lord. And I pray that you just allow him to diligently study your word, Heavenly Father, in order to continue to grow in your word and be able to guide and mentor, Heavenly Father. Lord, I just pray that you be with us as a church, that you allow us to assist him, Heavenly Father, in whatever it is that he may need, dear Lord. And Lord, I just ask you to watch and bless us, Heavenly Father, as we watch them grow. And Lord, just again, just continue to allow them to seek you and your will in their lives, dear Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, as we continue to pray, Lord, we just ask that your hand of protection would guide them, not only in their lives, but also in the ministries that they do, Lord. Lord, as a young couple and moving to an unfamiliar place, Lord, we just ask that you keep them safe, continue to give them discernment when they continue on, Lord. And Lord, as we as a church was already prayed, Lord, that you would continue for us to grow in you, that we would be guided, that we would have discernment and strength to do your will, Lord. And as we continue on this morning, Lord, we just thank you for this 245 years of freedom and that of our country, Lord. We just ask that you continue to bless it, Lord. Just watch over it, Lord. And may your people get right with you if there is some that are not, Lord. But, Lord, we are just so thankful for the Herbsters here to pick to come here, Lord. And, Lord, we thank you for bringing them to our front. And, Lord, we just ask now that you continue to be with them. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, fellas. Thank you. Do you want, maybe you can set that over there. You got that? Okay. Sermon number 3. The book of 1 Kings. The book of 1 Kings. And I want you to go to chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. I was debating whether to share this with you, but I thought I would in light of what we've just seen. I didn't even put this in your guys' notes, but in 1 Kings chapter 19, the scripture tells us in chapter 19 that we have the story of Elijah. And I just want to share something that Pastor, or Brother Josh Rickard shared, and this was my application of what he shared. And basically, I want to ask a question. Have you ever felt that you have exhausted all your resources? In other words, you didn't know where else to turn. And when you have, you're going to find yourself in familiar territory with Elijah. Elijah was very powerful with the prophets of Baal in chapter 18. But then, after that high mountaintop experience, he went and he started running. And we're told in 1 Kings chapter 19 that verse 3, when he heard about something Jezebel had said, he rose and went for his life. And where did he run? Verse 8, he ran, it says, he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the Mount of God. So the first point that Josh Rickard pointed out at camp, it really spoke to my heart, was the fact that what Elijah did is he went to seek God. He went to seek God. What is Horeb? Well, Horeb is the same place as Mount Sinai. He was up in Carmel, northern Israel. I've been there. And he went all the way down to where God gave the Ten Commandments. And he sought God. And he sought God because he wanted to hear from God. And it's important that you and I, when we have exhausted all our resources, that we seek God in His Word. That's how we seek God. Going back to something we said earlier, God has given us His Word. And He will tell us what we need to know. He won't tell us what we don't need to know. So, if you ever find yourself totally out of resources, get into God's Word and find out what God wants for you. Now, that's huge. The second thing is not only did Elijah seek God, he met with God. Now, if you look there, chapter 19, he goes into the mountain, verse 11, and it says that the Lord passed by where God was, and there was a great strong wind, rent the mountain. So in other words, now I was hitting the pulpit earlier, and it startled some of you. Maybe I start sermons every Sunday like that. Everybody does that. But think about it. Here he is in the mountain. And all of a sudden, God's got to be there. But it tells us in verse 11 that the Lord was not in that. It says, and after the wind, an earthquake. You know, imagine being inside of a cave of some kind and all of a sudden the mountain starts shaking. Boy, what's God wanting from me? But it tells us the Lord was not in the earthquake. Then there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. But where was God? There was a still, small voice. And the interesting thing is, this still small voice, God spoke to Elijah. And not only should we seek God in His Word, but we don't want to just have a casual reading of His Word. We want to meet God. We want God to be there speaking to us. And it may not be with all the noise that's going around or some big preacher who's really got an eloquent message or some enormous crisis that happens in your life. Sometimes it's just in the quietness of your soul. You know it, don't you? If you know the Lord, you know what I'm talking about. The Lord says, that's it. All of a sudden the tears start coming. And you say, God spoke to me. The third thing that Josh Rickard gave was not only did Elijah seek God, and not only did he meet with God, he made a godly friend. That is huge. You know, you need somebody who is going to help you walk through the trials. And of course, that godly friend, according to verse 16, his name was Elisha. Elijah wanted to give up. He wanted his life to be taken away. But God gave him Elisha. And of course, Josh Rickards, in talking about this, was telling the young people, you know, you need to find a godly Christian that's going to walk with you. The problem is, so many people find people that are friends, but they're not godly friends. They don't talk to you about God. They don't know the Word of God. They don't share the things of God with you. And one of the biggest mistakes you ever make in your life is to be a lone ranger. You know, that is tragic. That's why you need a church. We talked about that. But you need someone to help you. And to me, I tell you how God spoke to me. Our ministry, I've tried everything I knew to do. Our ministry has seen great things, but for some reason, in the last couple years or so, it's almost like it just kept going in a negative direction, in whatever that direction would be. So I started seeking God. But you know, when you really meet with God, it's called prayer and fasting. And when you are really at the point when you just say, God, speak to me. There's a peace. It's a still small voice that says, it's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. You just do what you're supposed to do. It'll be okay. And God sent me Elisha. Now, I don't know how long Elisha will be with us. But you know, He sent me a lot of Elishas. People who are always an encouragement. He sent me the greatest Elisha. Maybe I should call her Elisheen or something. So, I'm just saying to you, God's on His throne, and He can do whatever He wants to do. But let's walk with God. All right? Because righteousness will exalt the nation. But even more so, righteousness exalts God. And whether we see a lot of earthquakes and winds and fires, it doesn't really matter. What really matters is that we uplift the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and God. Brother Chuck's going to come at this time and do another song for us this time.
Well, we will remain seated this time. Let's turn to number 599, America the Beautiful. Hymn number 599, America the Beautiful. You know, one of the things Amy and I noticed when we moved up here to, out to Kansas here about 9 months ago was that there's some of those beautiful sunsets.
Amen.
Once again, you know, they talk about spacious skies and amber waves of grain and making that physical connection. So as we sing hymn number 599, America the Beautiful.
Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountain majesties above the fruited plain. America, America, God shed His grace on thee, and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. Oh, beautiful for pilgrim feet who stern impassion stress, a thorough fair for freedom be, a cross of wilderness. America, America, God mend thine every flaw, confirm thy soul in self-control,
Nathan Karras are going to come and do a special for us before I finish up this morning.
Which I think is really appropriate after the message Pastor just preached from 1 Kings. And just a reminder that, you know, really the song kind of walks through, and it's number 439, I believe, in your hymnals, if you would like to follow along with the words. The song kind of walks through every stage of life. You know, right now our prayer should be near my God to the end. And it talks about, as I'm drawing my final breath of life, you know, Lord willing, my prayer, I never want to be so near to God that my prayer is never, Lord, draw me nearer. And so if you can follow along, it's number 439, I believe, in the hymnal, and that way you can just follow along and the words will minister to you that way.
Amen. So much. Psalm 103. Got 5 minutes to preach. What do you think? Four messages in one service. That's not bad, huh? Psalm 103. And I want you to notice verse 12. Psalm 103 and verse 12. The scripture tells us, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. So the scripture here tells us that God is certainly capable of making us righteous. If we are saved, we describe that as justification. That means that God has declared us right with God. And that is what the scripture says. And he said, well, what happens to all those sins? Well, he says, they're removed. You say, but what about all those sins I've committed? Well, when you accept Jesus Christ to be your Savior, as far as the east is from the west, now you start off from this point and start going west, and you just keep going. You know what's going to happen? You go around the world and you'll come back at the same place. It's always distant. And the scripture tells us that God will blot out our transgressions, Isaiah 43. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And so my question to you is, have you been saved? Have you accepted Jesus Christ? You say, what? All those sins I've committed. Well, God says, they're gone. They're in Christ. But I know what you're thinking. You say, yeah, but what about after you're saved? Well, after salvation, the scripture tells us that God never will hold our sins against us in eternity, but He will deal with us when we sin. We're a child. And the Bible tells us that as children, He does chasten us. He can discipline us for our sins. And it's a terrible thing, really, to ignore God and get away from God. And we, of course, try to warn people against that. So often they don't want to listen. But there's a verse that tells us how you can deal with your sin. It's 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. And even as a Christian, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. How many have that memorized? Okay? Let's say it again. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, we have to confess that sin. We must see sin as God sees sin. And we need to make sure that we are recognizing the weight of how could God, who saved us from all our sins, how can I possibly spit in His face like that? And yet, the Bible says if you'll confess your sins, He'll forgive you. You know, you see sin as God sees sin, and it may cause you to weep, it may cause you to cry, it may cause you to just simply just say, you know, I am so sorry, God. That confession is what God is looking for, not for salvation, because you've already been saved, but because you are getting right with God. He forgives us because of the character of His nature. He is faithful and just. See, why would God forgive me? Because He's faithful. Because He's just. Not because of something that we have done, but because we're relying on the blood of Christ. And what is the cleansing? He cleanses us from how much unrighteousness? All unrighteousness. So, it's a wonderful thing to be right with God. And if there's a current in this theme that I've been preaching through, God wants us to be right with Him. He wants us to, first of all, to be saved. and to be absolutely sure when I die, I know I'm going to heaven. Do you know that? And after you've been saved, the Bible tells us that as a child of God, if you sin, confess that sin, because He is faithful and just to forgive you your sin. Our Lord, we come before You this morning because we know that You are a God who does truly forgive. And Lord, even as we still have it in our mind, the song, Nearer to God than Thee, Lord, we ask that You would help us to draw close to You. And Your Word says if we draw close to You, nigh to You, You draw nigh to us. Now, Father, work in our hearts in a special way. Maybe this morning, you say, I don't know if I'm going to heaven when I die. I'd like to know. We're going to give an invitation, which will give you an opportunity to come and let me know if you would like. We have an altar here, or maybe you say, you know, I just need to be sure I'm saved. We'd love to talk to you about that. But if you are saved, maybe you say, yeah, right now there's a sin in my life right now that's keeping me from being near to God. Again, you're welcome to come and kneel at the altar. If you're listening by way of internet, you know, God would want you to make things right with Him. Because it's that kind of righteousness that is going to help you to be the kind of citizen that you need to be, but also to be the kind of Christian you need to be. With our head bowed and our eyes closed, let's stand our feet. Now, Lord, I ask that You would work in a special way in our hearts. Bless us for Jesus' sake. With our head bowed as the pianist plays, if God is dealing with you and you need to come, you come. Just as I am, without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, that Thou bidst me come to Thee. O Lamb of God, I come. You know, that's what God wants. God wants us just to come. He doesn't need a bunch of talent or intelligence. What He needs and what He seeks for is for us to be humble and to seek His face. Amen. You can look this way. Thank you for coming this morning. I told you it was going to be different, but it was helpful, I think, these truths that we've heard from God's Word, and certainly good to have Pastor Nathan and Karis. If you don't mind going to the back door and let people shake hands with you on their way out, and come this evening. I have a very incredible passage of Scripture to study through the book of Nehemiah with you. And as we look at how we as a ministry are planning to do things in the next couple months. So I hope you'll come be with us tonight at 6 p.m. right after the service tonight. We are going to have this reception for the Herbsters, and then afterwards we'll head over for some fireworks. So it'll be a good evening. So you come be with us. Now, Lord, bless us now, guide us, direct us, strengthen us, and may You do a mighty work in our hearts. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.